Good morning, everybody. It is April 29th, 2020. I'm Larry Jacobs, CK12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Got a lovely show for you this morning. I've got the current and the immediate past president of the National School Boards Association, two great people, Charlie Wilson and Beth Branham. And we're not only going to do the show with Beth today as immediate past president, but she also serves on the Lexington, South Carolina School District Board, School District Number 2. And we're going to do a show with them, with her, tomorrow, okay, at 9 in the morning. But today's show focuses on NSBA, and I'm going to say right now, Charlie, as we bring you on, you're welcome to bring your Worthington City Board from Ohio on a show that we can schedule together. It's going to be fun. Hey, we're really excited about this, and I just want to say congratulations to every educator out there and everybody associated with the school district, bus drivers, the cafeteria people, the custodians, et cetera. Thank you all. Stop whatever you're doing. Give yourselves a pat on the back, okay? You're working hard, and you're doing the very best you can. And believe me, everybody appreciates it, okay? The strange times with COVID, but we're going to get through. Congratulations to you all. We're going to archive this show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out at edutalkradio. And we put a new schedule up at education-talkradio.org every Saturday. We have all our past shows over there. If you want to go over there, our big push is over at our equity and access site. That's ace-ed.org, 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 ACE, the American Consortium for Equity, .ed in education, ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, which also publishes AC&E Magazine, our online journal, which is, I must tell you, excellent. Please go over and read it. Everything we do is free. Okay, the newest issue is right over there, okay, of Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, our online journal. And not only that, there's great resources over there, et cetera. Wonderful Twitter feed of all kinds of news and resources for you. And we have a link to join our consortium. Everything we do is free, but we want to hear your voice over at ace-ed.org, Access and Equity, Pre-K-12, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And let's get on to these two great people who are waiting on the phone for me to click through. And there's one of them, and there's both of them. Let's start with the incredible Beth Branham. Good morning, Attorney Branham. How are you?
Larry? I'm doing wonderful today. How are you doing, Larry?
Well, I'm fine. How's the weather down there in South Carolina?
Oh, my goodness. It is sunny and wonderful. I'm totally in the middle of spring fever.
There you go. And we're having one of our first really good spring days up here in Maine. So we have something in common weather-wise for a change, Beth. And it's great to have you back here. And it's great to be able to talk to you again tomorrow when we're done today. Today's the NSBA show. Tomorrow's the Lexington show. Okay?
I'm excited. Thank you. I'm excited.
Me too. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Professor Charlie Wilson from Ohio State. Charlie, good morning. It's Larry.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, buddy. And Charlie's the brand new president of the National School Boards Association, NSBA.org. Official congratulations, Charlie.
Thank you very much. And I must say, Larry, I am honored to be on this show. I've listened to it many times.
I teach
education law and education policy. I encourage my students to listen to it. They've been inspired by it. I'm just greatly honored to be on your show this morning.
Well, I can't thank you enough for saying that, and I will just want to say back at you, I'm honored to have you here, Charlie. I really am, and that's the God's honest truth. But thank you so much for saying that. Beth, do you want to praise me as well?
I think you're absolutely wonderful, Larry, and I'm going to start listening all the time to talk radio.
Thank you, my dear. I appreciate that. I just drop your law practice and just listen here, okay? I appreciate it. It's really good. Beth is just amazing. Charlie, thank you so much for that compliment. It's just great. Charlie, before we go further, NSBA.org, there's a big announcement over there of a picture of looks like a very lovely and incredibly talented person. What's news at NSBA? Do you want to make that official verbally?
Sure.
Do you know what
sure.
I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I think you do.
We've got some great news. We just hired, just last week, a brand new executive director and chief executive officer, CEO, for our association. Her name is Anna Marie Chavez, and She is a ball of fire, a ball of energy, a ball of enthusiasm, and most importantly to me, and I think to the entire NSBA board, she is all about equity. She's deeply committed to equity.
Wow.
Our board is committed to equity, and we have a brand new executive director who is going to take us to another level when it comes to assuring that each and every student can and will learn and have access to the opportunities of a great education.
Hear, hear. Anna Maria Chavez, everybody. Is it Anna Maria or does she like Anna? What she goes by?
It's Anna. Anna.
It's Anna. Thank you. Anna, congratulations from Larry. Okay, we'll get you on the show. And Charlie, I'm going to write you and Charlotte. We're going to schedule a time for Anna to come on. Anna, excuse me. I'm going to get that right. Anna to come on the show. Okay?
That would be fabulous.
Yeah, it would be. She looks like a she's going to be dynamite, okay? It's just great. It's all NSBA.org. Excuse my little cracking voice there. Okay. I cannot say enough for school boards, everybody, okay? School boards are kind of like that, one of the hidden aspects of what we do in schools. Everybody takes them kind of for granted, okay? And they are the kind of the policy side, the management side, et cetera, et cetera. They're the public voice in schools, and I can't say enough for what the school boards and NSBA does, and thanks to everybody on the school boards across the country who mostly are lay people who take the time to get elected or appointed and work day and night to make their schools better. So congratulations to each and every one of them. And now everybody, like everybody in schools, okay, they got this unexpected horrific crisis of coronavirus. All right, so let's go. I'm going to go to Beth first, okay? Beth, you're on the school board. We can talk about this more tomorrow, but just from the NSBA point of view and the national point of view, and again, you're an attorney, okay? What's going on? What do you see the school board's challenges this year as the schools shutter in place? And some of them might be not only for the rest of this school year, it might be through the whole 2020. We don't even know yet. What's going on, Beth Branham, immediate president?
You're absolutely right, Larry. And, you know, it really varies from state to state, even district to district. You know, usually in the springtime down here in the South and across much of America, all of our concentration is on our standardized testing and, you know, the high stakes testing thing that the children always have to go through and, you know, are worried about that. And, you know, so it's been kind of interesting. I think there's pluses and negatives to where we are, obviously, with the coronavirus. Number one, since most of the states have been able to suspend or do away with their spring testing, there's just no way to have it completed. Teachers have actually been able to concentrate more on some innovative ideas and things. You know, I'll be happy to discuss more of that with you tomorrow, what we're doing in our specific district.
Okay.
I'm hearing that all across the nation, you know, that teachers are really many teachers are enjoying not having to necessarily teach to a test or something coming up in a couple of weeks. They're just really enjoying, hey, I'm teaching, my kids are learning, and trying just some innovative and creative things. So from that, that's a positive. A lot of districts now, as you know, are working towards what are we going to do about the seniors? We want to make the end of this year special to them. What are some different ideas for graduation? And people are getting creative all across America. So it's you know, I try to always concentrate on the positive. Sometimes it's hard in the midst of a pandemic. But, you know, I'm trying to look at the positive ways that kids and lives are being impacted. But as you well know, all districts are struggling with the gap and the I think what's going to end up being an increasing gap that may just transmit into years and years for some of our students from an equity standpoint because of internet access. We have a lot of rural areas in South Carolina. You know, the students may not have devices. They may not have the internet access if they do have the devices. So there's a lot of things in big cities that we can do, like take a bus and park it in the middle of somewhere and kids can access the internet. But, you know, if you're in the middle of the country, you can't really do that. So that's the main struggle I think right now is how are we going to keep our children from falling further and further behind?
Yeah, and I, you know, and everybody's trying with that bus idea, and it is a good idea where it works. But remember, we have one bus route for 60 kids in the way out in the country, and that bus route can take an hour and a half. Okay, and we can't park the bus somewhere where everybody can get access to it. It's really quite tough. What are you hearing, Charlie, from everybody across the country?
Well, here in Ohio, at least, on March 12th, we sent our teachers home with just a laptop and the charge to keep learning going for their students, to connect with their students, and to love them and to do it all remotely for the first time with no training, no professional development.
Yeah.
And frankly, here in Worthington, all across the state of Ohio and throughout the country, I've been blown away with what I've seen from our educators. You mentioned it earlier. Food service teams all across the country have chosen to put themselves at risk while serving hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meals to students each and every day. Members of our transportation teams have volunteered to drive buses to take meals in the neighborhoods.
Wow.
It's just, and members of our IT team, employees, going to your point about internet access. We've got employees who volunteer to put themselves at risk to go into homes and set up hotspots so that so that our students can learn. So it's been really remarkable the way all across the country educators have come together for the sole purpose of providing truly creative learning opportunities for their children.
Yeah, and I say this, you know, I say we got to pat ourselves on the back. We were all asked, not me, I'm not teaching kids, okay, but everybody was asked to go and make a complete change with no training, all right?
Right.
And bingo, okay? And we are making that happen. It ain't perfect yet, if I may coin a phrase. It ain't perfect yet, and everybody knows it, but don't get frustrated. Okay, you're doing a great job. This is to everybody out there, and the kids and parents too. Okay, they're doing a great job. Okay, it just needs to get better. This is the, God forbid that happens again, but this is the first time we've ever had to go through something like this. And in 7 weeks, we're not doing so bad. It's going to get better, but we're not doing so bad. But we want to make it accessible and give equity to everybody, which brings me to the next question. And Charlie, I'm going to stick with you. And equity and access, you know, is my thing. Okay, with our equity and access website and all the thing the magazine, etc. If we look on this, and I know there's pain out there in terms of employment, in terms of God forbid death in families and friends and all that. Almost 60,000 people have died already. Okay, it's a horrible thing. But if we can look on this, the good Lord gave us lemons. Let's try to make some lemonade out of this. Okay, Charlie, as you talk to school boards, and even in your own school board, and Beth, I'm going to ask you the same thing, how are they looking at the future? How are they looking at this as an opportunity to all of a sudden realize the challenges we have? How are we going to make that better? We'd use this just like England did when their healthcare system was destroyed. They created their national health system after World War II. It was a terrible mess. They turned it into something that works for them. Okay, how can we take advantage of something terrible and make it work as an opportunity, Charlie? And if you can do that, I'll give you another doctor from the University of Larry. Help me.
Okay, Larry, that's a superb question. I've been spending a lot of my time over the last 7 weeks thinking about what the effect of the COVID-19 crisis, the pandemic, will be on the future of education. And it's impossible for me, at least, to see the future, but I have a few ideas. First of all, I think what this is proving is if we give our teachers and our educators autonomy, we unshackle them from the standardized tests and tell them to go out and maximize the learning opportunities for each and every one of your children, that teachers do marvelous things. I'm hoping that this will result in some deregulation at the state and federal levels as to what we're going to demand of our teachers in classrooms. So that's one from a political standpoint. I hope the political effect is enormous deregulation and unshackling ourselves from standardized tests. And I think that will help all students and certainly all educators. The second thing is I think it's going to change education in some profound ways. As I go out in my neighborhood and stay at least 15 or 20 feet from teachers and parents, I live in an area where there are quite a few teachers and lots of parents, and students are loving this distance learning, and so are some teachers. I can foresee the possibility of students spending less time in class and a lot more independent, directed studies. than we've had in the past. I just think that we're not quite sure yet what education is going to look like in the future. But my biggest concern, again, goes back to the equity issue. If you've got, if you're a child fortunate enough to have your own quiet bedroom to do your online learning, and you've got very up-to-date devices, and you've got high-speed internet, you're doing great. If you're situated in a home where there's only a two rooms and you've got four or five or six people all sharing those two or three homes, and you've got three or four or five siblings also trying to get on the same device, or even if they have multiple devices, it slows up the internet when you've got four or five or six students trying to learn at the same time. So it's definitely exacerbating that. And we as school board members and we as educators have got to take that into account and do all we can to bridge that. But these are dynamic times. They're exciting times. My philosophy always is never let a crisis go to waste. Take advantage of it.
There you go.
Make things better.
Right. And I hope we do. Beth, what are your thoughts on this? Okay. How do we make this into an opportunity? Beth Branham.
Well, you know, Larry, first of all, I think that this pandemic has shown a tremendous spotlight on those glaring inequities in our society, just from the victims and of the coronavirus, who's falling to it, and, you know, just what's going on with our students trying to learn from home. One thing I think it's going to have to change and will change is I think it's going to change better access for everyone to that internet. You know, it's something, Larry, we've talked about for years. We've sat here and said for years, kids who don't have the internet access in their homes, same children we're talking about now, are going to keep falling further and further behind. But now I think we're at the point where we see we have to just quit talking about it, and we're going to have to do something about it nationally. We've got to make sure that all children are going to have that access so they don't get further and further left behind. I think one positive, Larry, is that, you know, just children I saw a little thing, I think on Facebook or something, that, you know, kids, when they look back and remember this time, we're all going to remember the insecurities, the uncertainties, the, you know, worries about joblessness and bills. Kids are going to remember, hey, I'm actually playing in my yard now. I'm, you know, having a dinner with my mom and my dad, who, you know, can't really go to work, so they're home with me. They're cooking, you know. I tell you what, Larry, my husband's so excited. I've cooked more in the last, you know, month than I probably have cooked the whole time we've been married.
Beth, Charlie and I are concerned that we haven't been invited to dinner yet. We are concerned about that. We were talking about
I'll have
that.
To mail y'all a pie. I'll mail y'all a pecan pie. How
Beth
about that?
I'm home cooking, everybody. Okay? It's interesting. All those things you're saying are absolutely accurate, and I say this, Beth, it kind of echoes what you just said. We've kicked the can down the road for too long, and we found out that at the end of the road is a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we just can't do it anymore. Okay, we have to make the changes. So with that in mind, okay, immediate past president of NSBA, Beth, and I'll ask Charlie the same question. I'll give Charlie time to think about it. Beth, what do you want school boards to do? I mean, you sit on the school board, and we'll talk about yours tomorrow, okay, on the 9 o'clock show. But what should school boards do now with this situation? Okay, literally focus. How does the school board move into this and make things happen? And Charlie, I'll ask you, you're actually the new king. Beth is now the regent. So go ahead.
Exactly. So I think that our school boards are going to really have to start looking into approving some of the recommendations of our administrators on maybe some different ways of learning, obviously working in conjunction with our state departments. I mean, Larry, we don't know coming back into the fall. We know for the rest of this school year, at least down here in South Carolina, class in class has been suspended in most states, but we still don't know about the coming year. Maybe differences in, you know, instead of a teacher sitting in a third grade classroom with 25 to 30 students for 8 hours a day, maybe she is sitting in the classroom with, you know, 15 students for 4 hours a day and then 15 students for 4 hours a day. And, you know, perhaps if I've got my teacher 1/15th of the time for 4 hours, I might be better served as a student than having her attention 1/30th of the time for 8 hours. You know, there's just some things like that I think we can look toward. I think that school districts are going to have to continue to work with local utilities in helping bridge that divide. I know here in South Carolina and a lot of places, a lot of our local internet companies are offering, you know, some free internet services and trying to get people connected.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have to continue to work with those people. I think we're going to have to work with our municipalities and seeing what areas we're lacking and how we can continue to reach our children and, you know, and provide services for them. So I think it's going to be kind of a scary time because we're also, Larry, going to be worried about, you know, funding. You know, we just don't know. I remember 2008, the funding cliff years. I mean, you know, we had teacher furloughs and all of that. Nobody wants to see that happen. Nobody wants to go back to that. So I think that school boards are really going to have to kind of look at, you know, how the funding is going to be impacted from our state coffers and really start planning how can we use the funds that we have, keep the employees that we have, and deliver a better educational system for all of our children.
Thank you. That was well said, and I remind everybody, you know, schools live on taxes, and people are making a lot less money right now. Hopefully that won't continue for forever, but it's bad right now. And we depend on taxes, and boy, it's really tough. Charlie, what do you think? What do you see as the role of school boards, particularly during this crisis or in the immediate future? Charlie Wilson.
Right. At this
Mr.
time,
President.
More than ever, thank you. At this time, more than ever, school board members have got to be supportive of their teachers and of their administration because they're getting slammed. They're getting hammered from both sides. I was talking to a teacher again on the street, about 15 feet, 20 feet away. Some of the parents in her class, they think she's demanding too much of them. Others think she's not demanding enough, that their kids aren't getting enough. Every child is in a different position depending on what's going on at home, how much their families can help out. And our teachers just need the support. What I do know is our teachers are doing the best they can. They're trying to individualize. But I think the most important thing for school board members to do is to be highly supportive. These are difficult times. We just had to cancel graduation. You know, that caused a lot of pain and angst, especially in our families where this was going to be the first child on either side of the family to graduate from high school. And now they don't get to go to this. There's going to be no honoring in the big public way. So we as school board members, we're scrambling to come up with ways to honor each and every child for his or her accomplishments.
And I hope you do it. I hope those kids get a chance to pose somewhere in their cap and gown and make that happen. These are very, very, very strange times, I got to tell you. And then the stress and all that is going on. And you're right. You know, and you're actually the voice of the public, the school boards, when it comes into this. And I think the public – and I don't hear too much of it, okay, except little bits of articles that I see in the Boston Globe or whatever. You know, we need the public's voice coming back to the school board and the schools, and I hope that's lively, about their individual kid. Because I'll say this, it was an article today. It was very interesting in the New York Times, and it was about how the Zoom meeting, not necessarily Zoom education, but we're all using Zoom these days, puts a whole different meaning to interaction. And a teacher who had a classroom full and could interact in person, it's very different when they do it on Zoom. And there are things that are just generally happening on a Zoom meeting. There's a little more tension. I lost my mic for a second. There's a little more tension. Okay, there's a little more nervousness. There's a little more of you looking at yourself on the screen rather than looking at the teacher, et cetera. And I recommend that article to everybody. I think it was a column. Okay, so you just know you're not alone in feeling weird using Zoom to work with a group. It's that simple. It's just amazing. Beth, I want to get back to something that you said earlier. This is a key about standardized tests. I'm sure it's the same in Ohio, just like it is here in Maine. How are they going to assess the kids? And, you know, teachers used to do it when I was a kid, although we didn't even have ink and paper then. It was mostly papyrus and clay tablets when I was a kid, okay? But assessment and measurement. We've used the standardized tests a lot, okay? We may not be using them this year. It doesn't look like it. How are we going to assess and measure people? What's the school board's reaction to that? Are we just going to go back to, which is fine to me, anecdotal, okay? The teacher, you as a professional, measuring each child. What's the feeling on that down in Lexington? Or what you're hearing nationally?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that honestly the high-stakes testing that seemed to just drive us in public education for so long really has just taken a back seat. You know, Larry, it's really been kind of odd. You're just not hearing as much about it. I think we know that, you know, how are we really – how is it fair to, number one, assess or judge children when they really have only had, you know, three-fourths of their school year this year. And, you know, we always get that little summer drop-off when kids come back and you kind of have to do a catch-up with them. Well, you basically are going to have had two summer breaks in between that time when they come back. So is it even really fair to assess them next year as well? Because I think all you really would do would be more graphically highlight the inequities of those children who were the haves and the have-nots. You know, the ones who had the internet practice, internet access, the ones who had, you know, maybe some parents who could do a little bit better about being school teachers now, which, by the way, I hear parents are really appreciating school teachers a lot more nowadays.
They're suddenly finding out it's not the teacher that's the problem. I love that.
Yeah, so, you know, I wonder, you know, maybe this will be one of the big changes is that we kind of move to a different format. And, you know, I think I didn't say this earlier, but when I was talking about the different number of kids in the classes, we may have to look at how we deliver school through the school year. You know, we're still on the agrarian calendar. You know, we may end up looking at maybe some more year-round type schoolings nationally and some things like that, just to be able to deliver that more one-on-one education to the children without, you know, also without losing the social distancing and things like that that we're now having to be mindful of.
Well, we're going to have to figure this all out. Charlie, who I know is a big fan of standardized testing, Charlie, your thoughts on it? Measurement and assessment? Huge fan of standardized testing. And by the way, standardized was never standardized. I always did terrible on standardized time. Me, did terrible standardized time tests, but always got A's and B's. Okay, go figure that one out. And the reason is they're not standardized. Some people do good in them, some people don't. It's that simple. But I won't get into that. Charlie, your thoughts.
Okay. First of all, by being unshackled from these standardized tests, our teachers have really moved it to a whole new level. Or as an older teacher that I was talking to a few days ago said, I'm now doing what I was able to do back in the good old days. My students are doing so much more reading and writing. This teacher had just the creativity. This teacher had all of her students go and interview by telephone an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent or a distant cousin who lives someplace else, and then write a report on that. And then read their reports, corrected their writing, had them do it again by calling somebody else. The chances here for students to, first of all, interact with family members who are also feeling lonely.
Right.
The students are feeling lonely. This was just wonderful. Now this teacher said she had a student whose grandparent came over from Ireland. She had the student, this is a sixth grade teacher, teaching a sixth grade student. That student has now read seven or eight books. The student's read seven or eight books on Ireland that this teacher assigned just for this one student. And it's so relevant to this child because she'd never talked to her grandfather about coming over from Ireland or what it was like. And now she's got a special connection to her grandfather. She's reading books. She's writing reports. Her teacher's giving her feedback. And this is going on throughout teacher's entire classroom. It's just, it's amazing what happens when you let bright, motivated teachers who are committed to being kind to students and maximizing their learning opportunities, what they can accomplish if they're not tethered to standardized tests and strict standards, and they've got to teach everybody the same.
Yeah, that's right.
I just think there's some wonderful learning
they
going
are
on
professionals.
Out there, but we still have the inequity. Right.
There really
the
is. And you got. I'm going to ask you this, Charlie, and I'll ask Beth the same thing. You, and I'll say this again. You guys, the NSBA, the school boards are the public's voice. All right. In many cases, the teachers live in the same community. They too are the public. Should teachers be getting in touch with their school boards, okay, and parents as well, in touch with the school boards to say what's going on. Is there a lot of that kind of banter going back and forth? Charlie, are you hearing anything about that? Teachers connecting with their school boards and vice versa?
Yes.
And parents connecting to the school board and vice versa?
Yeah, I'm in a rather small suburban community. When I go to a football game, teachers come up and talk to me. Parents come up and talk to me. Students even come up and talk to me. This is when we have football or basketball. I go to plays. I go to concerts. So back when we could do that. But now just my wife and I have expanded our walking into other neighborhoods. And I just think that is a critical part of democracy at the local level, of locally elected school board members. We're the only country that has it in the way we have it, and I just think it is the strength of our educational system, this concept of locally educated, locally elected school board members. Remember, Larry, there's nothing in our federal constitution requiring states to have locally elected school board members, and yet every state has done that, either by constitution or by statute. There's something about local control of education, and it's important for school board members to be available to their community and to communicate that then back to the teachers, back to the administration. I just think our educational system would not be as strong as it is without locally elected school board members.
I won't argue that, that's for sure. Beth, what are you hearing from the public, from teachers? Should they get involved with the school boards?
You know, I think absolutely, Larry. I know a lot of times teachers sometimes will be afraid to reach out to, you know, school board members.
Yeah.
That's certainly not the case in my community. I'm kind of, you know, right across the river from Columbia, and so I kind of grew up in this area, and it's really a small town feel. So I think some of my teachers even have me on speed dial. But I say that because teachers should be empowered. I mean, they should understand that school board members love to hear from them, and a lot of times the things they tell us or bring to us helps us to formulate policies that will make, you know, their classrooms better and their ability to teach their students better and give them more resources. You know, school board members are the ones making the budgets and all that, and if you haven't told us, we don't know. So we're always encouraging our teachers to reach out to us. And, you know, like I said, at least in my community, I think some of them have me on speed dial. So I'll give a few of them a shout out. They're probably listening.
I hope they are, for goodness sakes. And if not, you're welcome to send this to them. I'm going to be sending you the link. One other thing before we go, and this is interesting from a national point of view. A lot of school districts, and probably yours too, had things in the budget like renovating a school, building a new school, whatever the case may be, building a new gym, new football field, whatever. But now with social distancing, who knows what's going to happen? Well, Charlie, let me ask you this, and I'll ask Beth. Is there a talk about switching dollars, okay, from things that were going to be inside the building, and I hope we all get back to that. Please don't misunderstand the question. To, like, making sure that every kid has equity and access and that sort of thing, the things we're learning from our errors prior, okay? What's going on with budget dollars? How do we move forward with that? And you're the school board. You guys have the referendum. Charlie, then I'll ask Beth.
Well, great question. Our school district has grown by more than 20% student-wise in the last couple of years, and we're in the middle of adding building middle schools, high schools, and elementary schools. And our last board meeting was Monday night, and we spent a lot of time discussing what does this mean from a space standpoint. Will especially high school and middle school students be spending a lot more time studying at home, learning at home in the future? Do we need as big a building? Or as one of my board members pointed out, are we going to have to be maintaining social distancing for some time? Do we need to have bigger classrooms so we can spread our children out? So if a child does have sneezes, you know, can we isolate them in the classroom in a way, at least separate them from the other children? These are questions we've got to answer on the fly, as we're talking about $100 million plus capital budgets to build buildings. So we're still grappling with that. We don't know what next year's going to bring, or long term. Is this even a curable disease? Is this will there ever be a vaccine? We just don't know where we are. And we're learning on the fly.
We are all learning on the fly. It's just amazing. I'm just curious, Beth, what are you hearing about that? Like referendums, buildings, where's the money going to go? How's it being reallocated, if in fact it is? Beth Branham.
Yeah, so in South Carolina, when we have bond referendums, I mean, it's specific. You have to use the money for, you know, what you've laid out in the referendum question. So it's not really at this point that you have the freedom to start moving that money around. You know, however, you know, I can tell you one thing that I've seen is, you know, our building program is still moving forward. And we've also seen, you know, greater and different use of our employees like bus drivers. You know, we want to keep them working and employed and getting some paychecks. And so our schools have been getting deep cleaned and doing all kinds of stuff with employees who normally maybe wouldn't have been doing that. So it's really, oddly enough, been an interesting and good time to really get our buildings back kind of looking in top shape and, you know, ready for the children when they're able to come back. You know, years ago, Larry, we kind of wouldn't move money anyway because years ago our district kind of made that commitment to move to one-to-one devices for our children. So we've been doing that for a number of years. So our thing really is the internet access, and we're working with our local utilities to help with that and like moving our buses around and able to pretty much get to most of our students in my district.
Yeah, good for you. I got to tell you, it's just amazing. By the way, I must ask, did either of you watch that HBO movie this past Saturday night called Bad Education? You too. Charlie?
I did not, no. I'm a lot. I don't even have a television.
Sounds like something I need to watch. I've been looking for something else to watch, so thanks for the suggestion.
Beth, it was the Charlie, go buy a TV. Okay, it was the HBO. It was the HBO movie, and it's just because it's so pertinent to what you guys do every day. It was about things have changed. The Roslyn Long Island schools and money that was embezzled. Okay, by their superintendent who went to jail for it. It's an amazing movie with Hugh Jackman. Okay, and you guys will not enjoy it, but you'll get a kick out of it. I don't know how to say that. Bad Education on HBO.
I'll check it out.
I had to ask. Charlie, go over. You can't go to a bar. I don't know where you're going to go. You got to figure it. Go get your computer, Charlie. HBO.
I'll check it out. Thanks, okay. Larry. Great idea.
Good enough. And both of you're both just wonderful. Hey, Charlie, we can plan a show with the Worthington School Board just like we're going to do with Beth tomorrow. You want to do that?
That would be great. I think my school board and my administration would love that. Thanks, Larry. It'd be a great honor for all of us.
I'll be in touch with you about that. And Beth, are you working on an article for us for the magazine or the website?
Absolutely. I sure am. Okay. You did assign me one. You said Charlie and I might want to co-write one, so I've got to get with him on that, unless you want each of us to do one, either way.
Either way you want to do it is fine with me, okay?
Okay.
I'll send you both an email, okay? You can collaborate as the royal couple, the immediate past president, and the Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth, or you could do it separately, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Charlie, that's the first time we've been called the royal couple.
There you are.
Right.
You are the royal couple.
Well, our spouses think.
Right. Well, you are the royal couple. I only wish you their salaries. That's all there is to it, okay? So both of you, thanks a million, and I'll talk to you again very soon, okay?
Thanks, Larry. Thank you, Charlie.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Both of you. Bye-bye. The amazing Beth Branham, Esquire. Okay, she's also with the Lexington School Board, District 2 down in Lexington, South Carolina. And Charlie, who's on the school board in Worthington City, Ohio, okay, and is president of current president of NSBA, all right, and Beth is the immediate past president, the royal couple for your entertainment, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Charlie Wilson and Beth Branham from NSBA. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, tweet it out at Edge Talk Radio. Please check out ace-ed.org, join our consortium, read our magazine. You'll love what we're doing over there. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.